tonight, kids. 57 degrees, heavy rain and wind all day long. Look for flooding wherever you go. Lows around 30 degrees tomorrow night. Friday, mostly sunny, high around 40 degrees. Lows in the 20s. And then the cold is back for Saturday. Highs around freezing. Lows in the upper 20s. Then Sunday, partly cloudy. We get back into the mid-40s. Lows in the upper 20s. So sort of like cold-ish, but not. Once we get past this rain and the flooding for the next couple of days, not too bad.
And then spring.
Not too bad. This is WMFO Medford on the Tell Mikey D, coming your way at 9 o'clock tonight with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. We will be back right after this.
If you're an economy-minded cook, your knife can be one of your best friends. By learning to use your knife wisely, you can get more value for your food dollar. You can buy a pork rib roast, for example, and cut the meat away from the bone. Then you'll have an elegant boneless pork roast, and there'll still be plenty of meat on the bones to barbecue like spare ribs. This is Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Okay, gang, so chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the number to call if you think Shea is wrong. 855-915-WMFO.
If you think Shea is wrong, you're wrong.
If you think. Anyway, we are talking about what else but Covington Catholic. And I'm trying to impose some reason on this discussion and saying that we need to focus, because you know where I'm going to go with this. You've been doing this with me long enough, Shay, to know how this ends and where I'm going to take this.
Okay? Guys, you can't actually see me right now, but if you could, you'd see that my eyes have rolled all the way into the back of my head.
Here's the problem. I do not now, nor have I ever had an emotional reaction to the video or the story itself. I have had an emotional reaction in the form of disappointment, extreme disappointment, in the way that a lot of people have behaved around this story.
Yes. Well, I mean, everybody, I will say that everybody right now is in, for lack of a better term, victim mode. Everyone, oh, so close.
So what do we do? What do I do on these, Shay? What is it about? You should know the phrase by now. Zero moment of truth. The zero moment of truth where a set of events is set in motion that causes everything that follows. And this is what smart people do. They look at a situation and they say, all right, what's really going on here? And if you are a longtime listener to the show, you probably did not have the same visceral reaction to this that a lot of people did, because you know how to break these things down.
Yes.
Which is what I'm going to do.
Well, and that's the thing, is like the way I've been speaking about this thus far is from me actually thinking about it, not me knee jerk. This, like, if you can all look at my Facebook feed at Shea Spillane, I haven't commented about this at all.
You don't have a video show up. You're like, oh my God, let's rip those kids' arms off. They're wearing MAGA hats.
Like, all how dare you?
So here's what happens. A bunch of kids, high school kids.
Yeah, my most recent Facebook feed actually just has a picture of my friend's blood on his porch. So
a bunch of high school kids go to Washington, D.C. to march in a pro-life rally. Okay, that, if we want to break down all of the zero moments of truth here, that's the original, okay? And that's bad, okay? Children should not be used as political props. Children are not there for your propagandizing purposes. And 16 and 17-year-olds are not mature enough to have formed an opinion on the legality of abortion.
Yes.
All they have at that age is the brainwashing of the Catholic Church, and we know where the Catholic Church stands on abortion.
Well, and I suppose that's my point, actually, is that one of my favorite things in the world is the Bill of Rights. I remember learning about the Bill of Rights and reading it and just thinking, wow, like, this is so cool that we live in this country that allows us to do all of these things, especially the first one, obviously, because I'm talking on the radio right now and saying whatever the hell I please, except for the things that those really fun people stop us from saying that keeps me from expressing myself properly.
No.
But anyways, it's not so much like I have no problem with that they're assembling there, because they have every right to. It's more what I was driving at is that these kids, and they're kids. Yes. I mean, even though they're almost going to be 18, they're kids. I mean, I'm still a kid and I'm 32. These kids have had their brains trained to have this be what they're standing for.
How many of these kids' parents would run out and pay for an abortion if little Susie or little Johnny found themselves in a family way?
Precisely. Well, okay. I went to Catholic high school too.
I know. So, but let's set all that aside. All right. Let's set all that aside. These kids do have a First Amendment right to go down to Washington and be used as political props. Okay. Apparently, the kids bought the Trump stuff from a vendor while they were down there, because they are Trump supporters, because they are rich white Ohioans.
They it's may, really, really easy to be a Trump supporter when you're in that position.
They may live in Kentucky, okay? I know they live in Kentucky.
Yeah, I know, but they're from, I get what you mean.
They're rich white Ohioans, okay? It's Trump country out there. So they buy a bunch of Trump gear. They are waiting for a bus.
Country? Sorry, that was terrible. I regret saying that. I'm sorry.
Aji Pie is going to be coming for us now.
I have black cherry flavored seltzer. It's really flooring me.
They are waiting for a bus, okay?
Stop talking about how they're waiting for a bus. Nobody gives a...
They are waiting for a bus.
But about...
On the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, because that's where they've been told to wait for the bus. They are wearing MAGA gear. They are milling about.
Are they going
to
sit on the front of the bus or the back of the bus?
They are milling about as students waiting for a bus are wont to do. There is a group of Native Americans who are having a peace rally in Washington, D.C., and a protest for Native American rights, which they constitutionally are allowed to do. And there are a group of black Hebrew Israelites who are... Let's just say their politics are a little extreme. Let's just say that a rational mind.
Yeah, and I kind of like pizza.
I don't like name calling. I don't like name calling. So I'm going to say that a rational mind would have a hard time grappling with.
Very diplomatic of you, Derek.
Yeah, a rational mind would have a hard time grappling with some of what these people stand for.
Yes.
But they are agitated. That's what they do. They're
agitators.
Is agitating. And they see the Native Americans and they start agitating the Native Americans. And they get into it with a couple of the Native Americans. They then notice that there are a bunch of white teenagers wearing MAGA gear on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and turn their attention to harassing them. I cannot repeat any of what was said by the black Hebrew Israelites to the Covington students because it would incur tens of thousands of dollars in FCC fines.
Which we do not want.
And basically prevent this.
Which is why I said but instead of the word I wanted to say earlier.
Prevent this station from ever broadcasting again. Suffice it to say, if you can think of a racist or a gayist or an obscene phrase, it was directed at these high school kids by the black Hebrew Israelites.
Which, again...
In particular, singling out a black member of that school group.
Okay.
For some of the worst treatment.
First of all, that is not cool. But again, it's especially on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, I have to go back to that it is... Legally, people's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you as an adult want to call a white or a black Catholic student the N-word, or if you want to refer to Native Americans as Uncle Tomahawks, which was one of the phrases that the black Hebrew Israelites used, that I can actually repeat on the air.
That is such an absurd thing to call somebody.
Then, yes, they have a legal right to do that. The Covington students...
Again, and let me say, I'm not saying that it's cool or okay.
It's constitutionally
I'm just saying
protected.
And constitutionally, they can say it, exactly.
I disagree with their sentiments, but I will defend their right to say it. With
to
my
the
life.
Death, yes.
The Covington kids are standing there in their MAGA gear, listening to all of this.
Did I say MAGA enough that it sounds like maggot?
Yeah,
really
well, there are people
me.
Doing that.
I didn't even know that. It occurred to me just now.
Listening to all of this, a couple of these kids are really being bullied by the black Hebrew Israelites. So somebody goes to one of the adults who are mysteriously in the background of this whole thing.
That I guess is my biggest issue with this too.
Again,
continue. Sorry.
Again, this is one of the things you need to understand about the zero moment. Okay, I could sit here and do what ifs all day long, and the biggest of the what ifs in this is what if the adults had just told the kids, "Let's go over here."
That's my big issue. Is like where. Like I said, these are children. I know that they're almost voting age, but they're still children. Yeah. I mean, I went to D.C. when I was 16 on a leadership conference. We were corralled like cattle with all the adults around
us.
Where are these adults not being like, you know what? Maybe we'll go wait for the bus by the Washington Monument.
Yeah, exactly. Like let's go up the stairs. Let's get away from this.
You asked if I had empathy or sympathy for these kids. And again, empathy, yes. Sympathy, no.
But here's the thing. The decision not to move is not on the kids. It's on the adults.
It's on the adults. But that's my point is that it just ties into what I was saying before that that's what makes me sad about this.
But I gotta get away from what ifs because there's a lot of bad behavior going on all around this. Okay. So the adults, instead of telling the kids, hey, let's get away from this. You know, maybe we shouldn't be standing around while those black people are calling our black student the N-word and saying that they're going to harvest his organs. Maybe we should walk away from this. No. Instead, what they do is they tell the students it's okay to start doing school cheers and to start singing the school fight songs, which is what the kids proceed to do.
And isn't it like,
So there, yes. If you watch the Kansas City Chiefs game against the New England Patriots on Sunday night, you know what they're doing.
37-31.
Yeah, seven nations army, and they're doing all this stuff, with the Native Americans, like next to the Black Keys.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Now, again,
a lot of bad behavior going on around here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna break that down in a second. So the kids start doing the fight songs, all right? At which point, Nathan Phillips, our Native American elder, decides and subsequently tells the media that he thought the kids were attacking the black people. When, in fact, it is the exact opposite.
Opposite, yeah.
The black people are provoking the kids. They are hurling verbal abuse at the kids. They are bullying a couple kids in particular. This is your zero moment, folks. This is the zero moment. The zero moment is the moment where Nathan Phillips makes the choice to walk over and put himself in between the black Hebrew Israelites and the Covington Catholic kids. Not only to put himself in between them, but to pick one student out of the entire group who, when you take a look at the group, this is one of the smaller kids. He's like, he's not a tiny kid. He's kind of a, you know, meek looking kid. Chooses to target this one child.
He's also, if I may say, one of the whitest kids.
Yes. Chooses to target this one child and stand in front of him, not encouraging him to move, not attempting to move. The whole group moves through this crowd of kids pretty easily. The kids aren't blocking his way. They're not stopping anything. He targets Sandman and stands in his face, banging the drum and singing and doing nothing else. And Sandman is standing there like, as I think a lot of people would do in this situation, wondering what the heck is going on. You know, he doesn't raise a fist. He doesn't stare the man down. He doesn't demonstrate any kind of hostility. And if you look at everybody likes to talk about the smirk. If you look at the reverse angle, the angle shot by the Native Americans, Sandman looks terrified. Sandman's standing there like, why me? Why is this happening? What is going on here? And again, where the heck are the adults? But the zero moment, the moment when all of this goes out of control, is when Phillips makes the choice to insert himself in this situation. The kids are not responsible for that.
Well, here's the two things I have to say about that. You're correct in that this is an adult approaching a child.
Yes.
That being said,
which, by the way, in the eyes of a child, is a threatening act.
Oh, yeah.
In the eyes of any child, an adult approaching you and making eye contact with you, if it's not a parent, if it's not someone you know.
It's not like your doctor or something.
That is a threatening and hostile act.
But that being said, agreed, first of all, where were the adults while this is happening? secondly, though, which I guess is ties into what I said before, is there are ways to react to things that, of course, as I said, like just the environment that this kid grew up in, probably he, were not taught, these ideals were not taught to him, but it's, I'll give you an example. So the other day when I was at my restaurant working, I didn't polish some glasses because the person that was there before me told me not to and told me to leave them for another coworker. And he started screaming at me once he discovered them and said, "Shay, you're lazy." I said, "Are you kidding me, dude? Like, I'm not lazy. Like, she told me to leave them for you. What are you talking about?" He's, "You just can't take constructive criticism." And I said, "Calling someone lazy is not constructive criticism. You could say, 'Hey, Shay, you know, I think you should polish more glasses.' That's constructive criticism. Calling someone lazy is an attack." And that is the way I feel about this situation, is that he could have said, "Sir, could you please get out of my face?" instead of the reaction that he actually had. And I know he's a kid and he's been raised, again, I am very empathetic to just the fact that he doesn't know any better.
No, he should not have said that. He is correct not to engage in any way, shape, or form. What should have happened in that situation is one of the adults in that group.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But
should
I'm saying...
have, no, there's no... You can't blame the kid for this. You cannot blame the one person who is probably the most innocent in all of this is this kid. All right?
I think
he's done nothing to bring this onto himself. He has been singled out of a crowd based on bad behavior by a lot of adults. And those same adults have now basically left him to fend for himself in a situation that he does not understand. He doesn't know if he's being threatened. He doesn't know if this man is trying to communicate with him in some way. He doesn't know what's going on. He's 16, isn't he?
17.
He's 17, all right? How would you have reacted in that situation at the age of 17? You're going to look to an adult.
No, actually, I would have said, "Sir, could you please step away from me?"
No, you're not. I got news for you. You're probably not.
No, I've actually been in a situation where someone approached me when I was a teenager and I said, "Sir, could you please step away from me?"
But if there's an adult there who's responsible for you...
Oh, of course you first look to the adult. But if the adult doesn't do anything, then you have to take it upon yourself. While they are children, they are, as I said, that's the double-edged sword of this. Is they're children, absolutely. But they are also almost of legal age. They're almost ready to vote. They're almost ready to serve in the Army. They're almost ready to do jury duty.
And if they had been touched by Brian Singer, we'd be talking about what unfortunate victims they are, and isn't it awful? Because that's the other story that came out today.
That's neither here nor there, though.
It is here nor there.
They're two completely different animals.
You cannot simultaneously...
Oh my God, we have taken up like an hour of the show.
You cannot simultaneously infantilize a 17-year-old who has sex with an adult and demand a 17-year-old behave like a man when confronted by an adult. You have to have a single standard that applies in both cases.
No, you really can't, though.
Yeah, you can.
You can, depending...
It's not being a hypocrite.
No, it's a case-by-case basis. It's
not a case-by-case basis.
It is a case-by-case basis. Think about it. Okay, so there's... I know someone who got pregnant when she was 15.
Okay.
And she had the kid, got her GED immediately. She now owns her own business on Newbury Street.
That's great.
Yeah. But if somebody had harassed her when she was 16 and her baby was in daycare, she's still a child.
Yes.
That's why I'm saying you can't say it's not mutually exclusive. You can...
The argument that you're making is that Sandeman is not a child. He's a man. He's almost old enough to vote. He should be able to handle this.
My argument is that he's both.
He's not both. He is one or the other.
Well, he's an adult enough to go on the Today Show.
You don't know that. Yes, he's adult enough to go on the Today Show with extensive coaching and extensive preparation.
Yeah, but, you know, there are other people who were their children in the same situation. The parents would have gone on to defend him.
There are plenty of kids who would have just taken a swing at that Native American.
Yes, that's true, too.
Including probably kids in that group.
My point is, you can't, it's gray. You can't say
it's not, it's not gray.
You can't say it's black or white. You can't say he's a child or he's an adult.
Yes, you can.
Because you can't. Not at that age.
The law can. 18.
Yeah, I know the law can, but I'm saying in terms of an actual human being, it's... Like,
I don't care about the actual.
When I was a kid, my dad used to bring me to real estate events. He started bringing me to them when I was like 6. And I remember when I was around 13 is when I actually realized how to speak to adults and act like an adult.
Is a 17-year-old an adult?
Depends on the 17-year-old.
Is a 17-year-old an adult? Under the law.
Legally? No.
End of discussion.
No, it's not.
End of discussion.
It's not.
I don't want to hear about how you're mature before your age or any of the rest of this. Under 18, as defined by law, is a child. Those children...
So then, okay, until I turn 18, I can act like a jerk and I can act like a dum-dum. And then I turn 18 and I suddenly, magically, someone flips a switch and I become an adult.
I'm not going to get into an argument about the arbitrary line in the sand,
That's exactly what we're arguing about.
No, that's not what we're arguing about. We're arguing about legal... Definition.
Mm-mm.
Legal definition.
That's not what I was arguing about.
Well, then you need to get on the same page with your co-host because you're derailing it.
I actually already established that the legal definition for an adult is 18 years old in the United States of America.
So he is a child.
Sure.
Okay. He is a child. He is a child in the care of adults who have brought him to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I think we both have already agreed that the adults are morons and should have interjected.
Okay. We have no way of knowing what's in that kid's mind or in that kid's heart or who he is, other than the statements that have been attributed to him, which I guarantee you he did not write. He may have added a word here or there, but he's not the one that wrote that statement. That statement was written by a professional PR firm hired by his family, which is doing everything they can to try and stop left-wing loons from targeting their 17-year-old, who is a child. And this is an important distinction to make here, because if Bryan Singer had touched him, we'd be screaming up and down about how awful it is. But because he chose not to act violently in a threatening situation, we are condemning him as the face of everything that's wrong with America and suggesting that legions of people should descend upon Covington and punch him. It's okay. It's okay for an adult to punch a child, but it's not okay for an adult to touch a child sexually. I'm going to ask you, Shea Spillane, what's the difference? Are both not the assault? Difference. Are both not damaging to the child?
Oh, absolutely.
Do we not have a responsibility to prevent adults from touching children in any kind of a way?
I'm sorry. I missed the part where the Native American chief touched him.
I'm not talking about the Native American chief. I'm talking about all these losers who spent Martin Luther King Day on Twitter saying, punch the kid. That kid should be punched. Let's dox the family. Let's punch the parents. Let's punch all of these kids.
Punch all their smug little faces.
That's
utterly crazy pants.
That's where we went with this. Because a kid...
Well, that's what I was saying earlier, is that... I was speaking to my brother about this recently. In the current climate, everyone's in victim knee-jerk mode. Like, I was...
Does that give an adult the right to threaten a child?
No. This is my point, is that everyone is suddenly... The littlest thing that you could construe as offensive... Everyone is just jumping on it and like latching on and not caring whatever else happens.
I want you to change the word everyone to some people.
A large amount of people.
Noisy children on the internet.
And
their media enablers who are just hungry for advertising dollars.
I think this legal child to stop you from jumping down my throat. Could have handled it differently, but that was not his responsibility to do so. It was the adults that were supposed to be monitoring them.
I would go.
That being said,
I would go a step further and say it was the adult who confronted the child as well, who has a responsibility
to not confront the child.
Children.
But you have to ask yourself the. I always say the truth lies somewhere in the middle. We don't, even though we have a video of the entire thing, what have you, we don't really know what was happening there.
No. I can tell you that everybody involved in this is wrong in some level.
Yes, exactly.
Everybody.
That's what I was trying to say, that there's guilt, there's fault. I'm sorry, there's fault at every end and in everyone involved. But it is one of my least favorite things that has come from, I always say this to my mom, like, I sometimes wish the internet didn't exist or like social media didn't exist. And I, as I've talked about on the show before, I wrote my senior thesis on Facebook. I wrote it about Facebook and how it's changed the way that we've communicated as human beings. And this was in 2008. This was way before it became what it is now.
If I had a device that would generate an electromagnetic pulse, there would be no more Twitter.
Like, that's,
there would be no more Twitter.
Honest to God, like, even while doing research on this story, looking at our president's tweets, I never thought that sentence would, that phrase would come out of our mouth. Our president's tweets. Our president is on Twitter. He won't use the president of the United States Twitter. He has his own Twitter. Yeah. Like, are you? Like, my brain explodes every time I think about it. That's why I get dumber every day. But that, I think, is the great issue, is that there are, as I was talking about before, there are so many people in our country and so many different viewpoints, so many different upbringings, so many different ways looking at things. And everyone is just looking for a reason to be angry.
Well,
so when something like this happens, it's like, okay, so the people on the left are going to construe what they want to construe from this story, and they're going to flip out, and then the people on the right are going to come back and flip out at them, and everyone's just going to throw poo at each other like monkeys.
The video is a Rorschach test. It really is a Rorschach test for whatever is in your heart. As I said, I did not freak out over it. I don't freak out over these things because I have enough sense to look at them. The thing that I'm upset about, the thing that I'm angry about in this, is how badly the adults have behaved. These kids may be jerks, okay? There's some evidence to suggest that these kids are jerks. And at the very least, they are prep school boys. And when I say the phrase prep school boys, that conjures an image for a reason, okay? That does not eliminate the fact that they are children. Mm. The Black Hebrew Israelites are wrong for directing racial, homophobic, and obscene language. I'm not going to say homophobic. I'm going to say gayist, because that's what it is. Racist,
gayist,
like, banned homophobic from the show. Racist, gayist, and obscene language at children. They're wrong for doing that. The adults chaperoning the children are wrong for allowing this situation to persist. Nathan Phillips is wrong for inserting himself in between the African Americans and the children, and in particular, targeting one of the children. The adults are wrong for not stepping in defense of the children. The people who are the most wrong, however, are the people on social media who amplified this. People like Kathy Griffin, who called for the kids to be doxxed. People who called for the kids to be punched. People saying, I'll give you fellatio if you kick this kid in the nuts. The news media that took everything Nathan Phillips said at face value, including his description of these kids as beasts. Remember that played a big role in this.
Yeah.
Okay. that took all of that at face value, that did no additional investigation, the church that condemned the kids, the school that condemned the kids, the politicians that condemned the kids. Have we gone so far in this country? Have we lost our minds so much, not myself, but others, that we are now
a little bit.
That we are now going to take it out on children? Because I'll tell you something. If you were one of the people who advocated for violence against these kids, against these high school students, against these children, you have taken leave of your humanity and you are a monster.
Well, and to be
And you should live with the fact that you are a monster, that you think harming a child is in some way a reasonable method of expressing political unhappiness. Shame on you.
And look at things historically. How, when, ever has lashing out and being violent and being hateful ever made progress? It was Martin Luther King Day on Monday.
If you advocate violence in any form, you're loathsome. You're loathsome. If you advocate violence against a child, you're a monster.
Yeah, you're
a monster.
Crazy pants city.
It's that simple. I don't like to do a lot of name calling on this show, but in this case, I feel justified.
Oh, monster. I think the FCC is going to
That's, you know, that's not a kind thing to call somebody.
No, it's not.
It's not a kind thing, and it's not a word that I use lightly.
That's true. I was going to say, I think that's the first time I've ever heard you describe somebody as such.
Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, that's the worst. And
I'm going to spend all day calling for violence against a high school kid I've never met.
And what's worse, at the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah.
Like, perhaps the worst place that something like this could happen. Well, I'm going to lighten up a bit. Speaking of Martin Luther King, though, do you know the story about the I Have a Dream speech?
No. Well, I know a number of stories, but not the one that you're going to.
So,
he didn't really have a dream?
He literally had a dream.
No, I knew he literally had a dream.
No, but like he literally had a dream the night before.
Yeah.
He had this whole speech written, and Ella Fitzgerald was backstage. He was on the monument with him, you know, but back, you know what I mean? Like before he came out. And he was telling her about this dream he had where like there were black kids and white kids playing together. And like he had it the night before, and it just made him so amped for the speech, and it made him so happy, and it made him feel so warm and wonderful. And he's, you know, the speech, if you actually listen to or read the transcript of his entire speech, like I know that part's the most famous, but it's like an hour long. Like it's very,
oh, yeah.
It's a very long speech that he spent a long time writing. And most of it is not that part. Like, no. That comes towards the end.
That's like the last 12 minutes of the speech, if I recall.
Yeah, I was going to say, that comes very much towards the end. But I read this in an article and then, like, looked it up to back it up. But evidently, while he's on stage delivering his big speech, Ella is yelling at him from being like, "Tell them about your dream. Tell them about your dream." And that part was completely ad-libbed. Like, that was not part of the speech, the original speech that he was meant to make. And that's what we always attribute to him. And it was just him being completely candid.
Yeah.
Which I think is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Especially because it was Ella Fitzgerald who was like... badass. Like, she is so cool.
I would prescribe anyone who's feeling the need to hate on children or hate on your political enemies, go listen to some Dr. Martin Luther King speeches. Mm-hmm. I've played them on this program in the past.
He was an unbelievable human being.
Maybe I'll sneak one in for some remedial learning during Black History Month, which is coming up in a few days.
I was gonna say, we've got like what, 5 days till then?
Yeah, because I like to live my life according to what Dr. King said. I was raised according to that. That's growing up in the early 1970s. It was still very fresh in everybody's minds.
Of course.
And we were taught that, and it was drilled into our heads as well. It should have been.
And that's one of the first big projects I ever did when I was in, I think, when I was in fifth grade, was we had to like pretend that we initiated a, this is when I was in Smart Kid School once a week. We had to pretend that we initiated a historical event and then do a project to illustrate it. And it was, I did Martin Luther King and JFK writing back and forth with each other talking about the civil rights movement.
Nice.
And I had like, I made a book out of it and had like, you could open the envelope and take out the letter. But I remember that's, I learned about it when I was 10 and was just like, this man is incredible.
Yeah.
Sorry, was incredible.
That's somebody worth your admiration.
Absolutely.
Absolutely worth your admiration.
Not just because his voice was booming and wonderful.
On a lighter note, Oscar nominations are out.
Oh, good.
Did you get the rundown? Because we're going to be talking about this in a few weeks. We're going to be doing the whole...
I know Molly's going to come in and yell at both of us.
Yeah, well, she's wrong. So here we go. That's,
you saying that is why she's going to yell at both of us.
I may skip some categories here. Best Picture. These are the movies you got to go see if you want to know what you're talking about. Best Picture. Black Panther, Black Klansman, Black Bohemian Rhapsody, Black The Favorite. No. Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, which is actually about black people.
Oh, I'm seeing that on Monday.
Roma, A Star Is Born, and Vice. I have no issue with anything that is on this list except Vice, which I hated.
You hated Vice?
Hated it.
But you look like Dick Cheney. How could you hate Vice?
It's so bad. Best Actor, Christian Bale for Vice. Bradley Cooper, A Star Is Born. Willem Dafoe at Eternity's Gate. I shook hands with that man once. Remy Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Can and I touch your hand
Viggo
now?
Mortensen for Green Book. I think the early favorite in this is probably Remy Malek.
See, I think, though you hated Vice, which I haven't seen it yet, because it was sold out on Christmas Day, and we went to see that stupid freaking Will Ferrell movie. It was so awful. Holmes and Watson. That was like one of the worst movies I've seen in a decade. I mean, I love him and John C. Reilly, but like they were clearly just bored and had money to throw around. But I will say, like, even if Vice is terrible, I think that Christian Bale should win Best Actor only because he chameleonized. Like, I saw the trailer for that, and when it said Christian Bale as, like, I just looked and was like, that's Christian Bale? And my dad, I remember my dad looked over at me, he's like, who's Christian Bale? And I was like, Batman, Dad. Dark Knight. Batman. He goes, no.
And then he does like, the Batman voice in the movie. In Vice.
Where are they?
4-time nominee, 1-time winner, best supporting actor for The Fighter. That works against him. If you've got one.
Yeah, then.
And when you look at
one. Oh, he was really good in The Fighter.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
He was such a convincing heroin addict.
But that may have been long enough ago that the Academy has forgotten. So that to me is a question there. Best
I'm
actress.
Knocking on our wood.
Best actress, Yalitza Aparicio for Roma. Glenn Close for The Wife. Olivia Colman for The Favorite. Lady Gaga, A Star Is Born. Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me? Glenn Close is the early favorite.
I was going to say, Glenn Close. Get it.
Best director, Spike Lee. Black Klansman. Pavel Pawlikowski for Cold War. Black and white Polish film that, what's this doing here? Yorgos Lanthimos for The Favorite.
He blew somebody.
Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. Adam McKay for Vice. Cuarón is the early favorite, but I think he's got one, doesn't he? Didn't he win for Birdman?
I was just going to say, I think he won for Birdman.
They're not going to give it to him. So that probably puts it in Yorgos Lanthimos' hand. We'll see. That's my early pick. Best animated feature, Incredibles 2, Isle of Dogs, Mirai, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and Spider-Man.
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Spider-Man's won all the awards so far. It is a juggernaut.
I want to toss it to Ralph Breaks the Internet, though.
It is a juggernaut. I think Spider-Man's going to take it. The big, you know, I've been hearing all these people talk about snubs, and it's like, Bradley Cooper got snubbed for Best Director. No, he didn't, because the Academy never gives a first-time director a nomination. It's not a snub if it happens all the time.
I would say they give first-time writers nominations. They don't give first-time directors
nominations. Yes, they love giving first-time writers and first-time actresses those nominations.
That's why Lady Gaga's on there. That's technically her first time acting.
They don't like giving them to first-time directors. It's sort of like, yeah, what have you done? I don't know why I cannot find...
What have you done for me lately?
Okay. Best documentary feature. This is an actual snub. Free Solo. I guess they're showing that awful Star Wars movie for free. I don't know. Hale County This Morning, This Evening, Minding the Gap of Fathers and Sons, and RBG. Can you guess which thing is missing from this list, Chase Blaine?
Sorry, I was drinking blackberry-flavored water.
These are your nominees for Best Documentary Feature. Free Solo, Hale County This Morning, This Evening, Minding the Gap of Fathers and Sons, and RBG.
The one I'm thinking of hasn't come out yet. I really want to see the World War One documentary.
They Shall Not Grow Old.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God, I cannot wait.
That will be eligible this year.
I was gonna say, it's too early.
It hasn't actually, it's actually a television movie, so I don't know if it's gonna.
Oh no, it's coming out in theaters. In selected theaters.
That's correct. Yeah, that's right. I told you about that, so I should remember that. But can you tell me what's missing from Best Documentary?
Blanking.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Oh, of course. The Mr. Rogers documentary.
That has won all of the awards.
How is that not on there? Oh my God, I can't believe I can think of that.
That has won all the awards for Best Documentary.
Jesus Christo.
Is not on the list.
Ah.
I'm going to tell you why.
And I mean Mr. Rogers.
I'm going to tell you why. Fred Rogers got boned, okay? But Fred Rogers didn't just get boned. Fred Rogers got kneecapped. This is a fix of epic proportions to make sure that RBG wins Best Documentary Feature. And that is the movie that is going to win.
I feel like I should boycott Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Well, here's the thing.
Based on that alone.
I don't think that movie should even exist. All right? I do not like the idea...
RBG or the Fred Rogers one?
RBG.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of Supreme Court justices as rock stars or celebrities. That is not what the court is for.
I do like my cousin's t-shirt that says Notorious RBG and has her looking like Biggie. That is pretty funny.
But it's not.
I totally agree.
We have to be serious about some things in our lives.
Speak for yourself.
We got time, so I'll give you a couple more of these. Best Supporting Actor, Mahershala Ali for Green Book. Adam Driver for Black Klansman. Sam Elliott in A Star is Born. I'd love to see him get it. I don't think he will. Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me? And Sam Rockwell for Vice. That's probably it. Once again, Best Supporting Actor tends to be a locked category.
Mahershala Ali. I can never pronounce that.
Yeah, it's pretty likely against this, unless they decide to give it to Sam Elliott. But
damn it.
We'll see what happens.
I mean, darn.
Best Supporting Actress, Amy Adams for Vice, Marina DiTavria for Roma, Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk, Emma Stone, The Favorite, and Rachel Weisz, The Favorite. This will be an interesting category. I don't know.
I want Amy to win just because she's a very nice person.
Amy is one of the best things in
Emma
Vice.
Emma Stone's a very nice person, too.
Amy's one of the best things in Vice and one of the few characters actually given something to do in the movie.
Oh, what do you mean?
She, the way that Christian Bale plays Dick Cheney, it's a cipher.
He's just
kind of there the whole time. You know, and I've developed over the years of, looking at how these things go, I've developed a 5-point scale to help you handicap best actor.
Of course you did.
And best, it doesn't hold up as well on best actress, but this definitely works for best actor. So there are five things. You get 1 point for each of these. Number one, biopic. You get a point for that. Number two, terminal illness.
Oh, yeah.
Or other degenerative disease. If you have both, you get an extra point.
No. Do you know what the big one is? Mental disorder. Am I getting ahead of you?
Number three, madness.
Well, it's like Sean Penn, I Am Sam. Who was my grandpa and your grandpa sitting by the fire? Card counting. Rain Man.
Yeah.
That wasn't Pacino.
Yeah, that was. No. Was it Pacino? Yeah, Pacino was in Rain Man.
He was Rain Man.
Yeah.
But Pacino, I believe he got... If you can play mental disorder, that's what they're always like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, biopic, terminal illness, madness.
Oh, my God. It's all the things I have.
Overtime.
Oh, okay.
So you're playing that character at several different stages in that character's life. If you have all five of those, you are going to win the Oscar. There are two actors, and actually, it comes down to a question of whether or not you think, it's Dustin Hoffman was Rain Man and not Al Pacino.
I was going to say, I knew it wasn't Al Pacino.
Yeah. Al Pacino
you,
was Son of a Woman.
I knew it was some small dark-haired man.
There are two actors. There are two actors that fit that one this year, and it's Christian Bale and Rami Malek. So we'll
see. Like I said, like Christian Bale, even if you hated Vice, the fact that he could chameleonize like that, especially because it's weird. I watched Dark Knight last night, and just the whole time I sat there being like, Bruce, how are you, Dick Cheney?
Remy Malek.
He is so hot in that movie.
Remy Malek plays a pretty amazing Freddie Mercury, all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah. He was pretty dope in that.
On the Tell Mikey D coming your way in less than 10 minutes. But before that, we have our favorite things of the past week and the strangest things of the past week coming up after this here on WMFO Medford.
This is my story. I'm Ellen, and this is my story. One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home. I got a cab to go home. All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react. I swerved. The cab swerved. I can't believe it. I hit a guy. I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy. I wish I took a cab. Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome.
MFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. With me, as always, is the illustrious Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. We're about to wrap things up. But before we do, we want to tell you the best things from the past or this coming week. For me, I have to mention Nick's Comedy Stop this weekend because Friday and Saturday.
Louis C.K.
Two different headliners, one on Friday, one on Saturday, are two of my favorite comedians in Boston. Friday is Chris Tabb, who is just...
He's great.
Oh, my God. He's so funny. And then Saturday is Tim McIntyre, which I swear to God is one of the best writers in Boston. Like, the jokes that he writes, I just sit there and I'm like, how are you such a meek, bald man while still being funnier than everyone in the entire universe? But they're going to be there. So, like, either night, you're going to have a good time. If you want tickets, you can go to nickscomedystop.com, and they will have buy tickets buttons for you.
I'm going to give you a reason to go to Saco, Maine. You may think there is no reason to go to Saco, Maine. And generally
That's what I was about to say.
You are correct. Saco, Maine, there's no reason to go there. Saco, Maine has... And Krispy Kreme Donuts. And Krispy Kreme Donuts.
Oh, hello.
Has just announced their chocolate glaze collection.
This is a
dozen chocolate inspired donuts, including chocolate glazed cake batter. I think that speaks for itself. It's cake batter filled. Chocolate glazed raspberry filled. Double chocolate glazed cream filled donuts. Chocolate glazed Oreo cookies and cream donuts. You get a box of 12 different types of chocolate glazed donuts covered with chocolate, with chocolate and cream inside of them. I am going to be at Penn Station this weekend. And
my God.
Bringing a dozen of these bad boys home.
I would say, I don't even really like donuts, but that just My mouth, is watering right now. I can't speak properly.
Go look it up.
Too much saliva.
Go look at the pictures, and you'll be like jumping in your car and be like, "How far away is Saco, Maine?" So if you got a Krispy Kreme near you, Saco, Maine, they got one. Mohegan Sun has one. I'm going to be in New York, so I'll grab some while I'm down there.
Please do.
I'm
holding you to that. Like, you have to bring me a donut.
They'll be stale by Wednesday, so I'm going to have to eat them all myself.
I don't care. Put them in your fridge. Shut up.
Bummer.
WMFO Medford, 91.5. We're wrapping things up here at the Big Picture. But first, we're going to tell you, well, that's the thing that happened, which is the weirdest thing that we've heard from last week. For me, Derek, guess which state it's from?
Florida.
Oh, my God. You get it on the first guess. A Florida woman is in the hospital after being shot at a Shell gas station on the north side of Jacksonville. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office told Action News Jax that around 10:23 Monday.
It's called Action News Jax.
Yep.
Oh my God.
That's why I usually don't include the news source, but I just thought it was so funny that I had to. Right.
Welcome to Jax.
10:23 Monday, a woman agreed to perform a sexual act with the shooting suspect in exchange for $5 and a can of Pringles potato chips.
Hey, that'll get you far in Jacksonville.
After the act, the suspect demanded his $5 back. And shot her in the shoulder before fleeing the scene on foot.
No. That's not how that transaction works.
Yeah. The woman has non-life-threatening injuries. Detectives are still investigating the incident. I mean, at least ask him for a tenner. Like, come on.
No, he's throwing in some Pringles.
If you're going to be, I guess they're like $3.29.
Yeah. New Hampshire. Close to home on this
one. Oh, it's the New England, Florida.
It's always a win. It's always a win when it's local. A reminder that there are some things you should do at home and not in your car. Michael Duville, 51 year old enough to know better, of Nashua, was out for a drive last Tuesday in Manchester, better known as Manch Vegas to the locals. Mr. Duville may have been inspired by that nickname because when he stopped at a red light, two nearby police noticed that he was smoking crack cocaine.
Oh.
And receiving oral sex from a woman in the passenger seat.
Oh, get it, Manch Vegas, dude.
Police knocked on Mr. Duville's window, prompting him to speed away. He was arrested by a third police officer nearby after his female accomplice had a chance to escape. Mr. Duville now faces charges of
including even
possession of a controlled substance, reckless conduct, and lewdness.
Oh, I've always wanted to be charged with lewdness just because it would be the most hilarious thing to tell people that I've been charged.
There's your lewdness right there up there in Manch Vegas. He's smoking crack cocaine.
I'll be there soon, baby.
And yeah, you know, that's not how you operate safely is what I'm saying.
No. One or the other, never both at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Manchester. So that is just about all the time that we have. Congratulations go out to the New England Patriots.
Yeah, you.
For their football thing that they did, they got some good football prowess, that team, and we will be rooting for them. A week from Sunday.
Wait, we are? Yes. Thought we were gonna like take a vote on this.
No, what?
I'm messing with you.
It's the Patriots. It's the Patriots.
Dude,
come on.
Half the time when we do this show, you're wearing a Patriots jersey. Obviously, I did that to get a rise out of you.
Well, it worked.
Mission accomplished.
I'm predictable in that sense. Other than that, I don't think there's much of anything like.
I mean, no one cares until the Super Bowl. Oh. I think Boston's just going to put the snooze button on until.
Don't forget to watch whatever speech president gives next Tuesday.
Wait, what president? Which one?
The orange president that you don't like, giving a speech next Tuesday.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar.
Not giving it in front of Congress, which ought to be interesting.
Ha, cute.
Because here's the thing. What he really ought to do in this situation is just give it at one of his casinos and have a bunch of showgirls dancing around in the background while he makes whatever noises he's going to make. Because then at least we will be somewhat entertained.
I would say, I picture it being quite similar to the adults in Charlie Brown cartoons.
it does kind of devolve into that after a while if you listen to enough Trump. Because there's no big words there and they all just blur together.
Enough Trump.
Yeah. Well, next Tuesday night is the State of the Union. Stay tuned. It probably won't happen in front of Congress, but we'll see. And
we'll probably derail the entire program talking about it next week too.
No, because nothing hugely significant usually comes out of these, but we'll see. So until next time, Chase Blaine.
I love you all.
And I am Derek Gary. Stay safe, everybody.